Well, James Rhodes, you said a couple of things the Lord spoke to my heart about. I preached on the book of Jeremiah about the potter and the clay at one time. As you said, as Brother Stromlin was witnessing to him, and he shared with him how he had had that cancer and everything. And I thought back of what I shared that when the potter is taking and molding the clay and shaping what he wants, he uses different tools. And he makes each vessel unique. And I just want you to know this tonight, church, that God takes and shapes each and every one of us to use in a special way to witness and to help people and encourage people. Don't let the trials and struggles you're going through just plumb turn you down. God can use that for His glory. God wants to use that, and He wants to encourage people by what He's done in your life. So let God use you. Amen? I also thought about my grandpa. He was talking about the family. All they're concerned about is material things. I remember going to my grandpa's house, my grandpa Wilson, after he had passed away. Everything was just like him. My grandma had left it. She had gone on a couple years before him, and he'd been the last few years time in a nursing home. We went into the house there, and everything was just like they had been there, except in the one middle bedroom where we got to sleep when we went down there. There was two trash bags. And inside those trash bags is what my grandpa was living out of at the nursing home. That's the possessions that he had there, just the clothes or his razor and whatnot in there. And I thought about this. My dad and his brother was only two living at that time with the family. And they got into it over some families now, over some possessions. And I thought, here it was, come down to the end of the road, and he was living out of two trash bags. Aren't we so... Let's think about where we get to, folks. Let's don't get that way. Let's don't be caught up in those things of this world. Let's let God help us and be a light in those times. You know, there's other family members there that nobody was there when they got into it. I just know what was shared with me, what happened, everything. It wasn't a knockdown drag. It was an argument. There's hard feelings. You know what I'm talking about. It happens around us all the time. Over senseless things of this world. But I thought about something in that. That I got something better out of that. I didn't get anything major of my grandpa's. I think I got a pair of his old coveralls I still wear to work in my garage with. They're wore out. They're not insulated anymore. They're that old. But I wear them to keep me from getting my clothes dirty and everything. But I thought about this. It's been several years ago we had a youth service here, Brother Brian. And I got to preach that youth service. And I've been praying that God would give me a soul at that youth service. And I've been studying and praying, and God just impressed upon my heart to call my grandpa at the nursing home and talk to him. And I called him up and I talked to him and I got to witnessing to him and I asked him if I could share with him some scriptures. And I got the best thing. I got to lead my grandpa to the Lord. I got to lead him to the Lord. I know where Paul Wilson went. That's what I called him, Paul Wilson. I know where he's at. And I know I'll get to see him again, Brother Artis, because he accepted Christ as his Savior. Didn't matter what was in them trash bags. Didn't matter what was in that house or on that property he owned. He was in my father's house. So much a better place. So much a better place. I just want to encourage you that. Be a witness. Be a witness. It's got nothing to do with my message tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of James, chapter 1. Well, I guess we had something to do with it, Brother James, or Rhodes, and the book of James, the name James. The title of my message tonight would be, Whatever Happened to Sin? Whatever Happened to Sin? Now, God moved upon my heart on this message. We live in a world that they don't call it sin anymore. They call it everything but the Word of God tells us that we're all sinners. That means there's sin in our life. The Bible teaches us that, and as God moves upon us and convicts us and shows us, we realize that. But the world will call it everything else, but they will not nail it down to that because they want to live with that in their life. They want to live with those things in their life that the Bible declares to be sin. And I want you to listen tonight and let God speak to your heart and help us to realize that we don't need to do that within the church. Sin needs to be declared what it is. The picture needs to be painted, needs to be shown, needs to be revealed. That's the only way people's going to get saved. That's the only way Joey Wilson got saved, when God made me to realize that I was a sinner, that I was lost in sin, and I was separated from Him. And that's the only way people get right, is when they realize where they're at and where they're going to go because of that sin. You listen, let God speak to your heart. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 16 said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Pray with me tonight. Father, thank You for the songs that we've sung tonight, Father. Thank You, Lord, for Your sweet spirit and Your love and Your care and Your watchfulness over us. Thank You for each person You brought here tonight, Father. And God, I pray that You will just be here in our midst. You will anoint me, Father, to share this message. I pray that, Lord, You will help me to say what only You would have said. And You will just lead me, Lord, and You will use me, Father, and that You will be glorified. Father, strengthen us as a church here. Build us up in the faith. Help us to stand fast, Father. And I know that these people here tonight love You, Father. But I know that You gave me this message to share here tonight. And You would just help us, Father, to stand fast in these days. Not to try to cover up, Father, sin. Not to try to paint a different picture of it, Lord. Or to pat it on the head and make like it's all right. But Father, may we stand apart, Father, as You would direct and lead us. And Lord, I know that Satan, that's what he would like to do, Father, for this world to be deceived, Father. And Lord, not knowing truly what is going on in their lives, Father, that Lord, the sin that's in their lives. Help us, Father, lead us, strengthen us. And I just pray You'll speak to our heart tonight, Father, and You'll draw someone unto You, and You'll just be in our midst, Father. Thank You again for all that You've done. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to go back with me into the book of Genesis. Over into chapter 1 or 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 13 there. And we've all been reading close to these scriptures in our Wednesday night Bible class. We're fixing to go on and to get into these. But I want us to read it again tonight. And this is where sin began at. This is why I want to go back and start here. Chapter 3, book of Genesis. Says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, 'Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said unto the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die.' And the serpent said unto the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, 'Where art thou?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?' And the man said, 'The woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.' And the Lord God said unto the woman, 'What is this that thou hast done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.'" Now here we have the beginning of where sin entered into this world. We have them disobeying God and going against God. Now back in James chapter 1 verse 14 says, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Now we would like to blame everything in the world that we can on somebody else. Now, as we've sung about Jesus, we sung about the old rugged cross. Brother Melvin led us in that. And we think about this, and I want us to remember why Jesus was on that old rugged cross. It was because of that three-letter word called sin. No other reason but for that. Because of our sin. That's what put Him on that cross. That's why that He went to the cross. And the Scripture tells us that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And the Scripture goes on to tell us what happens to the lust when it's conceived, it's turned into sin. And as I looked at the Scripture here, and I was looked at the word enticed, and the definition of it means instigated to evil, seduced by promises or persuasions, or to be persuaded. And the Scripture says that we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust and we're enticed, when we're instigated to do evil, when we're seduced by promises or persuasions. Oh, this world has a strong power over us. Everything in the world is offered to us. And we see it before us each and every day. But the Scripture tells us it comes down to me, where that I'm at and what I'm going to do with that lust in my heart. The Bible tells us that we need to deal with lust carefully, not to let it rule in us and not let it have control of us. Over in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, if you want to turn there with me, a little scripture there tonight. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they're trying to persuade you or to seduce you, or you're being instigated for taking evil, he says, consent thou not. Do not go along with it. Do not partake in it. I believe the Word of God is telling us to be wise and to look at these things. Do not let lust come into your heart. Do not let it build up in your heart. Do not let it get control of you and direct and lead your life. Now, my message I titled was "Whatever Happened to Sin?" And I want us to realize that this world is painted different pictures of it. But sin put Jesus on the cross at Calvary. Our sins put Him there. And we need to realize that. There was a book written some years ago that I'd run across this title. I didn't read the book, but it said, "Whatever Happened to Sin?" And we say, well, that's kind of a silly question to ask in the times that we live in. But I don't think so. I think the church world is as guilty as the world about painting a different picture of it. They've gotten away from the Word of God, from the true Word of God, the authorized version, the King James Version that we trust in here at Oak Lane, that we believe in as being the Word of God. And when they get in there and they go to changing things, they change the words, they change the meanings. And as we've been learning in our Wednesday night classes, it's all in the context of the whole Scripture that it's contained in. And you go to changing that, it takes away the meaning. And the world does not realize what sin truly is. What sin truly is. And I hope here at Oak Lane tonight and even out in the cyberspace tonight that somebody would hear and they'd understand and realize that their sin is what separates them from God. What a silly question to ask. No, it's not. Scripture says when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. You hear that? Sin bringeth forth death, the Scripture tells us. We've come to a time when it's a little three-letter word taken lightly by the world and even the church. And I say this because I see things going on to people that call themselves Christians around me out there where I work at, doing things and partaking in things that are not of God. I believe a lot of them are partaking in sins. They've been blinded because they do not study and get into the Word of God and let God reveal to them. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, you may not like me after tonight, but I want to tell you a few things. I know a man is a Christian, so-called Christian man, works with youth at another church here in Harrison, and it was his birthday, and he showed himself at a tattoo parlor getting a big tattoo put on. Hey, I don't believe that's of God. I believe he says, do not mark yourself, will be the Word of God says. I believe we need to go with what God says. I believe we need to understand what sin is. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. And you may be here tonight and you may be talking under your breath, Brother Joe, I got a tattoo. I don't see nothing wrong with it. That's between you and God. But I tell you tonight that I cannot in all good conscience before God go and get one of those things and have my body marked like that, because it says to abstain from all appearance of evil. And you can just connect that to other things in the world. You can run these things whichever direction you want. But how's God dealing with you in your heart? What's in your heart before God in these things? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He's persuaded. He's deceived. He's led down the wrong path. There's an old story told that a minister spoke strongly one morning on the subject of sin, calling it out by name. No one moved during the invitation. The prayer to dismiss was given. People began to leave and shake the minister's hand. When one man stopped and pulled the minister to the side and told him that he did not need to be so plain about sin, the minister's reply was, "Oh, I see what you mean. I should go to your house and go into your cabinets and your home and remove all the labels from all the containers. Take everything off the food containers, off all of your medicines, off the poison that you might have there. Remove everything, because we would not want it to be plain about what is good for us and what is not. Hey, if it's sin, call it sin. Call it out. Don't paint it up. Don't let the world think that it's all right. Stand apart." God wants us to stand apart, Christians. He wants the world to see in us a difference and not going along with the world. I don't want to take the chance of poisoning my family or your family or myself. I want to stand apart. Isaiah 5 and 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." He says, don't do it. Call it out what it is. Make it plain. Brother Joy, what exactly is sin? I tell you that it's not, all that is not of God is sin. All that is not of God is sin. Back over in Genesis chapter 2, if you want to follow me back over there, let's go over to Genesis chapter 2. I want to read you verse 15 and 16 there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." And God gave them specific direction. God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. What is sin? It's going against God. They had clear direction. God told them, commanded them, that of every tree. But if you get down there to verse 17, he says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God gave them specific directions. God told them they could eat of all these other trees, but he said, "Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not partake in it." I tell you that what is sin is doing what God says not to do. We can see from Adam and Eve what sin is. They took deliberate, willful rejection of what God commanded them to do. They went totally against God's word. I tell you again tonight, he says abstain from all appearance of evil. You think about the things going on out there in the world. They don't call sin anymore. They don't call sin anymore. Going against God, denying God, and going against things of him. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. 1 John 3 and 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Transgression is the act of passing over or beyond any law, rule, or moral duty. It's a transgression of what God says. Going against God. You did what God said not to do. Brother Joy, how do we know what God says to do and not to do? Well, I tell you tonight, we've got the Word of God to go by. You got the Word of God to go by to lead and direct you. You know what else you got? We have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that comes in when we're saved, and He directs and He leads us and He makes it plain to us. He reveals to us and He shows us how that we need to live our lives. How do we know? We have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ." You go back into Exodus 20, you have the law of God given to us. You say, "Well, Brother Joy, we're not under the law." No, but the Word of God tells us our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It reveals to us and it teaches us what sin is. You just look at the world that we live in today and you size it up against the Ten Commandments. And they painted over everything and tried. They don't call it going against God. They don't call it sin. That's why they took it out of the courthouses and everywhere else. They do not want the truth before them. Thus saith the Lord is what this world needs to hear, what they need to see. It does not need to be taken out. Verse 16, God commanded them. Adam and Eve knew what God said. Do you know what? I believe there had to be a heaviness in them, in their hearts. You know, they tried to clothe themselves. They tried to make things right. And that's exactly what's going on in this world. They're trying to make things right in their own eyes. God tells us to confess it to Him and put it before Him. Confess that we are sinners. To lay it before Him on the altar and let Him take care of it. And I believe that there's a lot of people out there in this world that are going against their conscience. They're going against what God's put in their heart. And there's a heaviness in them. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. You know when God moves upon you that you've done something, you've said something you shouldn't. There's a heaviness in your heart. Hey, if God's pricking your heart about it, you better get it on the altar and get it confessed and get it right. God will deal with you. God will bring it before you and show you and reveal to you. Sin is also a failure to do what you know is right. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And the second part of that verse says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hey, it's not a popular subject tonight, but the world needs to hear what sin will do. The world needs to hear that it's going against God. Whatever happened to sin? I must tell you today, unfortunately, sin is alive and well throughout this world. Even though we've tried to sugarcoat it, we've tried to make it out to be something humorous or just plain change the name of it, sin is still sin in God's eyes. It's going against God. And Jesus gave His life because of it. It required His blood to be shed that He could wash away our sins. That's what the Bible teaches. That we're all sinners. We're all separated from God by our sins. But He tells us that He sent His precious Son to go to that cross at Calvary to die and to shed His blood that He could wash away our sins. Wash away our sins. Not what we want to call them. It's plain and simple, Brother James. It's sin. Sin is what separates us. I got 2 points to share tonight. Number one, the problem with sin. And number two, how the gospel of Christ addresses the problem of sin. How God deals with it. How God takes care of it. Number one, the problem with sin is that there's a love of sin. There's a love of sin. Sin has its pleasurable nature. Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The Bible teaches us that people enjoy the pleasures of sin. It tells us they were there for a season for Moses. Do you know what Moses passed up when he left Pharaoh's house? He had a life of luxury before him. He could have had anything he wanted. But you know what had happened? He'd have missed out on God. He'd have missed out on what God had for his life. He didn't want to live his life in the pleasures of sin. He wanted to follow God. And he went out and he let God lead and direct him and bring him back and let God use him. Hey, there is a love of sin in this world today. There's a love of sin within our churches. There's a love of sin among the ranks of Christians. It doesn't need to be there. Sin separates you from God. Sin will separate you from God. It is that pleasurable nature that causes men to love sin and be blinded to the truth. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's that pleasurable nature that causes men to love sin. And he says, and this is the condemnation, that light's come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It satisfies the flesh. As long as they're satisfying the flesh, they're not concerned about being in the light. Selfish, satisfying of the flesh. Not letting God be in control. Not realizing that we're sinning and going against Him. Living in darkness, people think they escape accountability before God. That pleasure lasts only for a season. The Bible tells us, you may live your life in darkness, but when it comes to the final days, the Bible says we'll all stand before Christ. We're all going to give an account. There won't be no hiding in darkness. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're going to confess. They're going to ante up one day. They're going to put it before Him and they're going to realize where they're at and it's going to be too late. Hey, if you're living in sin, get out. Put it under the blood. Let Christ wash it away. Oh, there is the love of sin. But you know what else? There's the practice of sin. The Bible tells us how serious the practice of sin is. He says in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and we have all come short of the glory of God. We all practice sin. We've all been sinners before God. Oh, brother, do I'm a Christian. I've been forgiven. I don't have a sin problem, much less practice it. Oh, really? 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And verse 10 says, if we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Hey, He says that we all practice sin. We can confess it. We can put it before Him. And we can be forgiven of it. Oh, don't be caught just trying to carry it along yourselves. There's not a perfect person in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ was the only one. And He said He wasn't perfect. He said the only one perfect was God Himself. Hey, realize where you're at. If there's a heaviness in your heart, something in your life that doesn't need to be there, let Jesus take it away. Hey, what else is there with the problem with sin? Hey, there's the state of sin, the condition that you're in. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says that those who practice sin are dead. And that pertains to our relationship to God. As far as He's concerned, our sin places us in a state which we are dead unto Him. If you're living in sin, the Scripture says you're dead. There's no life. And that is the problem with sin. It places us in that state of being dead and being separated from God. There's the guilt of sin. No matter how hard we try to deny or suppress sin in our life, God still knows our guilt. Romans 3:19-20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Hey, there's the guilt. We're guilty before God. There's no way to justify ourselves. No flesh can obey God's law and be justified in His sight. When we try to obey the law, we fail. We fail. We fall short. I could never obey every one of those Ten Commandments. But it takes Christ coming in, washing away those sins and leading me and guiding me and guiding each and every one of us as we let Christ, taking care of that sin in our life and just turning our life over to Him and just following Him and serving Him. What state are you in tonight? What state are you in? Are you dead in your trespasses? Oh, there's the guilt of sin. No matter how hard we try to deny or suppress sin in our life, God still knows our guilt. Hey, I can hide a lot of things from you. You can hide a lot of things from me. And I've told you before how I had that terrible tobacco habit I hid from a lot of you for quite some time. But I never did hide it from God. He knew exactly what it was. And there was the guilt of that that I carried with me each and every day. Till that one Sunday night, I come to the altar and I stood and I asked the church to come pray with me. And I laid it on the altar and I confessed it and I turned it over to God. And I quit hiding it. Quit trying to hide it from God. Quit trying to hide it from anybody. I just turned it over and asked God to forgive me. It was a sin in my life. Well, Brother Joy, I don't think you'll go to hell for chewing tobacco or smoking. Well, that's between you and God. I know what He told me. I know what I had to do, and I tell you what, I'll never pick it up again. Because to me, it is sin. Because He cleansed me, and He forgave me of it, and He took it out of my life. Hey, there's the guilt of sin. I was guilty before God. No way to justify myself. Oh, what else is there about sin? Sin has a power to it, the power of sin. Jesus spoke of the enslaving power of sin. John 8:34, Jesus answered and said, answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, to be servant unto something, it has to have power over you. Sin will have power over you and will control you. It'll make you a slave. Anybody here like being a slave? No, I wouldn't imagine so. Do you know what? If you've got sin in your life, You're a slave to that sin. You're in bondage to it. I've got a family member that's in a rehabilitation right now for drugs. That sin in her life has controlled her life, and she's a slave to it and don't even realize it. There's people that are enslaved to alcohol. There's people that's enslaved to drugs. There's people that's enslaved to pornography. There's people enslaved to the filth and trash of this world. They're slaves to it, and they don't even realize it. The guys I work with, a lot of them are not Christians. They'll talk about, they'll come in on Monday morning, they'll look three times worse than you, Brother Ryan. They're three times dead because of the sin that they've lived in over the week. You know what I'm talking about? You all see it. And they want to think what a weekend they've had. And they look like they're at death's doorstep. They're enslaved to something that they don't even realize that has enslaved them. They think they're living the life that they want to live. Hey, you're not. I've been enslaved to that stuff myself. But praise the Lord, He delivered me and He set me free. I confessed that sin. I put it on the altar. I asked Him to take it away, and He did exactly that. If you hear me tonight, and you're enslaved to sin, you confess it to Him. He says if you confess it, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of it. He will give you victory. He will give you that. Sin has a power about it. But I want to tell you what, the Holy Spirit has such a greater power that can deliver you and can take these things away. He can set you free. Sin is so powerful that even when we want to do good outside of Christ, we weren't able to do it. And those ones that I'm talking about are enslaved to that. They can't do it on their own. I thought back of how many times I tried to give up some of the things in my life that shouldn't have been in my life. How many times I said, I'm quitting this or I'm not going to do this anymore, only to turn around and do it again. The only way that I could get rid of it is acknowledge the fact that it was sin in my life and turn it over to God and ask Him to deliver me. As I already told you the Scripture, He's faithful and just. His power is what can deliver you and what can set you free. Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now when it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me that's in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Sin is so powerful that when I want to do good, it controls me. If I have that and I harbor that in my heart and I don't confess it, it controls me. And I do those things I do not want to do. And the same is for each and every one of you. If you let it rule in your life, it controls you. You're enslaved to it. Oh, the power of God to deliver. On your own, you cannot do good. Many times we set out to get free from the bondage, but it took Jesus Christ in my life. It'll take Jesus Christ in your life to free you and to set you free. What else is there about sin? What is the result of sin? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, that's the first part of that verse. What is the result of sin? It's death. That's eternal separation from God. If you die in your sins, you're going to hell. The Bible teaches that plain and simple. It's talking about sin. Sin. Wages of sin is death. God says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Word of God is very plain about sin and the results of it. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What did I just tell you about? I told you about sin. Unbelieving, abominable, murderers. Sin, sin, sin. That's what separates us from God. That's what sends us to hell. Eternal separation from friends, from family, and from the one who truly loves you. Separates you from Jesus Christ for eternity. Oh, I hope that you desire tonight not to have it in your life. Whatever happened to sin? Oh, it's alive and well. It's working. It's moving throughout this world because there's people that love it. There's people that practice it. There's a state of it. There's a guilt of it. It has power. And it has an eternal result, eternal consequences. Now, that's what sin will do in your life. But the gospel of Christ addresses the problem of sin. Jesus Christ can take care of all these problems. He can undo this in your life. The gospel says, believe in Christ. That'll take care of the love of sin. That we must believe is evident in the Scriptures. Mark 16:15-16 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Believe that Jesus can what? Can cleanse you of your sin. And he can wash it away. He can take it away. Believe and put your trust in him. When a person truly believes in Christ and the facts of the gospel tells about him, they will come to hate sin for what it costs God and Christ. Hey, that little three-letter word cost Jesus Christ his life. That little three-letter word cost God's only begotten Son. That he came and he lived upon this world. He took on him flesh. And he lived here without sin to overcome sin for you. And he allowed him to nail him to that cross. He went to Calvary and he died for you. For your sin. For your sin. The world, you can call whatever you want to, but it's still sin. It's against God and it's what will send you to hell. It's what will separate you from him. It cost Jesus Christ his life. Hey, he loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his life. And he went to that cross. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to know the free pardon of sin. When we believe in Christ, it'll take care of the love of sin. Our attitude will be that of the psalmist. Psalms 119:104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. He hates every false way. When we realize that Jesus loves us and he died for us and he can take care of sin, we'll understand it. We'll hate those ways that are not of him. We'll understand and we'll know and we'll want to follow and be close to him. What else does the gospel tell us? It tells us to repent of the sin. The gospel calls for mankind to repent. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ was calling out and he was telling people then to repent. You know what the message is today? Repent! Turn from your sin. Turn to Christ. Put your life in his hands. Turn it over to him. The gospel says that when we believe in Jesus, we pass from death unto life. That takes care of the state of sin that we talked about, the condition that we're in. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Our condition changes. We're no longer bound for an eternity of separation from God. We're saved. We're born again. The Holy Spirit comes in. Our sins are washed away. We're forgiven. He that believeth on him sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but we pass from death unto life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we can be forgiven of our sin. Praise the Lord that he made the way. Believe in Jesus and you will pass from death unto life. What else does the gospel tell us about? It tells us about the remission of the sin. It takes care of the guilt of sin. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Remission means deliverance or forgiveness. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Forgiveness and pardon. That's what he offers to you. Forgiveness and pardon. When we repent, we are forgiven. I'm forgiven. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe for each and every one of us. Oh, because he loves us. What else happens? Oh, we talked about that power of sin. The gift of the Holy Spirit coming into us addresses that power of sin. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hey, you remember when that Holy Ghost came in, that Holy Spirit came in to indwell you when you asked Christ to save you? If you don't, then it would be a good night to ask him to come in, to experience that power of the Holy Spirit coming in and making you a new creature in Christ, making you that new person that He wants you to be, washing away that sin and taking that sin out of your life. He wants to do that. He has the power to do that, the power to deliver you. Acts 2:38, as I already read, says, we receive a gift, and that's the Holy Spirit. It is Him working within me that overcomes sin. It's sin. It is His power that I can say no to the temptations and sin. I gave my heart to the Lord in 93. And since that time, I've seen and experienced the Holy Spirit working in me to overcome the power of sin in my life. Now, we each and every one have struggles and battles, but the Lord is there. The Lord is there if you'll call on Him, and He will help you, and He will deliver you. He will take care of those problems. There's struggles and battles. It's real. You live in a world full of sin, and it'll affect you if you let it. But Christ wants to give you the victory. Christ wants to give you the victory. Eternal life addresses the result of sin. Instead of spiritual death and eternal separation from God, we can have spiritual life and eternal communion with Him. Romans 6:23 again says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He offers us eternal life to be in a place called heaven. Now the Bible teaches there are two places of eternity. There are places called the lake of fire for eternity, a place called hell. There's also a place called heaven. Not everybody goes to heaven. And that world is deceived by that. You'll go to funerals many times that a lot of preachers will paint up that this person was just, oh, the best that they could be. But it takes a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to make it to heaven. I'd never do good enough. I'd never stand before you enough times, preach enough messages, and do enough good deeds to merit my way into heaven. The first thing that happened to me was the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. And He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He saved me. He washed away my sins. He forgave me. I realized that it was sin that was going to take me to hell. Plain and simple, it was my sins. But I realized that Jesus loved me and He wanted to wash away my sins. He said He had a place prepared for me, that I could go and be with Him for eternity in heaven. And I tell you what, that's a place that we ought to desire to be at, that place called heaven. Oh, don't let sin reign in your body. Don't let it have control over you. Whatever happened to sin, it's been sugar-coated. It's been made out to be something humorous. And just change the name of it. Oh, it's sin. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. There is a problem with sin, but Jesus Christ addresses that problem. I've shared with you these scriptures, the different conditions, the different places. But it's sin that separates you from God. One last scripture to read. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Did you hear that? We have an advocate. He's the one that pleads the case for you. Hey, you dirty, no good, rotten sinners, Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you and He wants you to be forgiven. He's your advocate. He pleads your case to the Father. No matter how bad that you are or we are, He pleads your case. He pled for Joy Wilson. Father, forgive Joy Wilson. He's called upon me. He's trusted me. Oh, Father, forgive him. And God did exactly that. He cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't remember them anymore. He forgave me. Praise the Lord. I've been forgiven. My sins have been washed away. How about you? Is He your advocate? Have you trusted Him? Have you called upon Him? If not, I want to beg you tonight to do that. Wherever you're at, wherever you may be, realize it's sin that separates you from Him. And sin will keep you from heaven, keep you from spending eternity with Him, keep you from your loved ones that have gone on to heaven. But it'll keep you from Jesus. Sin. S-I-N, that simple word. That's going against God. Going against God and doing things your own way. Transgressing God's law. Going against Him. I ask you tonight to beg Him to forgive you. Ask Him to, and I know that He will. That He will take care of it. Father, I shared what You laid on my heart. I called it out, Father, what it is. And what we need to realize what it is, Father, and Lord, as we get ready for a song of invitation, I pray for someone here in this church tonight, Father, but if anyone out there watching, Father, you made seal real to them, Father. They realize what sin is doing in their life, that it separates them from you, that they'll not make it to heaven with sin in their life, that they need to confess it. They need to get it under the blood of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Help them to understand, Father. Help them to see the truth. Not to be living in darkness, not to be blinded, not to be thinking that, Father, that they're just living up in this world and they'll live it up in the next one. Father, those that go to hell will not be living it up. They'll be in a place of eternal torment, your word tells us. Tormented forever, forever, forever and ever, because of sin, because of that one little word. God, help them to come tonight, wherever they may be. Bow their hearts before you, confess that they're a sinner, and ask you to save and deliver them. Please have your way. Jesus, have your way. We ask in your precious name. Amen. Stand with me.